When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new DNF1 F1 podcast. I hope that you're all doing well and thank you as always for being here. It's great to have you along. My name is Adam, the host of the show, and joining me as always on the panel, we've got Lee Wallington. Hello, Lee.
Hi, Adam.
How are you doing, mate?
First.
We're not going to try that again. You know, normally we edit stuff out when things don't quite go right. I mean, how long have we been doing this now, Lee? Like, we've done over 300 episodes of this pod, and I can honestly say not a single one has probably gone through from start to finish without a hitch of some sort. So we'll consider this a little bit of a treat for the listeners, a bit of a peek behind the curtain. Sometimes things don't get right, but we edit it out so that it's almost seamless. But this is how it normally works when we do these pods. It's an absolute shambles, but we persevere and we just work our way through it as best we can.
That's the best way to do it. Just a bit of Haas podcasting.
There you go. It's not quite Alpine. We're able to get from start to finish and not in a shambles. We kind of Haas it. That's a good way to describe it. I like that. But yeah, obviously, Australian Grand Prix this weekend, our first Sunday race of the season, albeit it's going to be a very, very early start. And I know already I'm listening to myself and some of the American listeners that tune into the show, who we absolutely love and adore, by the way, are going to tell us, guys, it's still a Saturday night race for us, owing to the time difference. So nothing's really changed there, I guess what I'm saying. But yeah, putting that alarm clock on early in the morning, especially if you live in the UK, that one's really going to, we're going to feel it, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be painful. I will have to wait and see how brave I'm feeling if I'm going to bother setting an alarm off and just be sensible and get the early morning replay. Or not early morning, mid-morning. Not early morning, because early morning is the 3 o'clock start.
You have to be careful, didn't you? Because if you do want to do that, which obviously, you know, if you want to do that, fair play to you. There's always at risk that if there's a delay in what we saw last year with the red flag, there's a delayed finish, you may end up turning it on, not realizing that the race is still ongoing and you've spoiled half the race for yourself. Or
I've
worse
done that
yet.
Before.
Yeah, I remember nearly doing that last season. I had sort of my eye looking down, flicking on, and I turned it back because I knew the race wasn't over. I'm like, right, I can't invest in this. I've got the recording. I'll have to go back to the beginning and do it properly. But then, worse still, you've got Ted Kravitz when he does the notebook after the race, doesn't he? And sometimes when races overrun, he has to do the notebook. The highlights won't come until after that. So if you're expecting to tune in at, like, I don't know, 9 a.m, 9:30, whenever the highlight race is on in the morning.
I'm not talking about highlights. I'm talking about the race replay.
No. They got the race replay, like, but they do it, didn't they, at 9:30?
Yeah.
In the morning or something like that. And you'll put it on expecting to, you know, watch the full race replay. And you've got Ted running around the garage and you've got the results at the bottom. You're like, no! No spoilers.
But
I mean, look, we complain about this. Typical Brits, you know, we have it so well. We have it so lucky. All the race times are usually catered to us unless they physically can't, like, for example, here in Australia, for example. Yet there are people that watch the races all around the world that get up at ridiculous hours or stay up till ridiculous times, wherever they're from. Those are the true heroes of the sport. We're just whinging because on one or two occasions of the season, and they're coming thick and fast. We've got Australia, we've got China coming up next, we've got Japan. So we're going to get that all out of our system before the European leg of the season starts. But until then, we're quite lucky. We don't have
they
to
should
do that
do
very
a Melbourne
often.
Night race. Yeah,
I mean, it's not a bad idea. Maybe that's the way forward. If we get bored of having Melbourne as it is, we'll do it as a night race.
Suzuka, I know night race, yeah. China night race, it just makes it all...
Yeah, why not? Let's cater to the whole UK audience. Let's let us run the timesheets or run the timings for these races. I don't know. probably best to be left as it is.
Yeah.
But yes, of course, you know, for the preview of this episode, before we get into the predictions, which we're going to base this episode off of, and please feel free to play along with us, we are going to keep score of the predictions, by the way, this time. I know we said we weren't going to bother doing it, but you know what? We're changing it up because we know you guys like that. So we're going to base the previews around that. And we're going to keep score this time. So there is a competitive element to this, Lee, just to give you a fair warning. But before we get into that, we got to do a 5-star review. Now, this season, if you are new to the show, we have been paying tribute to a 5-star review in every single show that we are doing and dedicating that to one specific person who has been very kind to support the show and leave us a 5-star review. And this week, seeing as we are going to the Australian Grand Prix, Lee, and we're previewing that, I thought it might be nice to pick out a 5-star review all the way from Australia. So I got one here from Greg Davis. Greg writes, "G'day guys." I'm not going to do the accent, don't worry. He says, "G'day guys. Absolutely love the show. Really enjoy the banter between you guys and really enjoy your F1 analysis as well. Must recommend pod all the way from Melbourne." Rather fitting. So thank you so much, Greg, for your support. This episode is for you. And if you want a 5-star review read out, please leave us one on your favorite pod platform and tell us why you love the show. We always love to hear positive feedback from our listeners. So Lee, first things first, heading into the Grand Prix. I suppose the first question we have to, or first thing we need to discuss before we get into the predictions, of course, is Carlos Sainz. Now, obviously, following the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, Carlos Sainz suffered from appendicitis. He wasn't feeling too well and had to be replaced by Oli Behrmann, who did an absolutely bang-up job. From what we're hearing at this point in time when we're recording this, which is, I think, the Wednesday night, actually, Carlos Sainz is expected to be racing this weekend. The statement from Ferrari is that he's looking pretty good, he's feeling pretty good, and the expectation is he will be racing. It's not about 100% confirmed yet, but that's good news for Ferrari, and it's good news for Carlos Sainz as well.
Is it good news for Ferrari? I mean, the strategy will take a hit with Ferrari, with Carlos not being on the wall. I mean, there was really a big advantage for their strategy last time out with Carlos being there.
Well, he usually manages the race within the cockpit anyway, so his strategy will be fine. It's Leclerc's strategy that they're going to have to try and sort out, because I absolutely agree. Yeah, it's funny that when he was on the pit wall, everything seemed to go quite swimmingly with Ollie's race and Charles' race. And
it's smooth operator. Yeah. It's Carlos's mantra. It applies to strategy as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, Ferrari are getting rid of Carlos Sainz. So maybe if Carlos can't get a seat, and I very highly doubt that that's ever going to be the case here, they can always offer him a position on the pit wall and get their strategies right, be their head strategist for them for next season, and Ferrari will just win absolutely everything with that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a downgrade for Carlos.
It'd probably be a downgrade for Carlos, but there's always a future in strategy for him if he ever wants it, or if he gets bored of driving, although that seems very unlikely at this point in time. I mean, the guy's an absolute warrior to come through what he's been through. Turn up to the circuit last week, and I'm pretty sure he's raring to go this weekend, and I would not be surprised if he's absolutely 100% on it, as we expect him to be. So let's move on, Lee, to the first of our predictions. And the first prediction is the biggest good surprise. Now, of course, this is related to who we think will be the biggest good surprise this weekend. So, Lee, I'm going to let you go first. Who have you gone with?
You may have already alluded to it. Or I say we may have already alluded to it, but my biggest surprise is Carlos Sainz.
See, this is how you know that we don't declare to each other what our predictions are going to be before we start the show. Maybe we should, for the sake of getting the structure right, because I feel like the talking point already on Carlos has already been used up.
No, I've got a bit more to say to obviously explain my rationale. We haven't said it completely on the previous topic of conversation, but Carlos is obviously raring to go after last time out. They was unable to race, which for any Formula 1 driver, being unable to race is a complete nightmare. Regardless of their status of their health, they always want to race. And Carlos obviously has the added incentive that he's out of contract at the end of the season. So he's got a point to prove. And Oli Behrmann coming in and doing exceptionally well has put even more pressure on Carlos to prove a point. Because now the young guy has proven that the young guy can take it and to perform well in one race, admittedly, but he can perform well in one race. So what can Carlos do that Oli can't, for example? And it's a... No, I'm saying Carlos can obviously do a lot more than Oli. Oli's only 18. and there's all the experience and, as I just said, Carlos Sainz, strategy. I'm sure Ollie hasn't got that strategy locker quite as developed as Carlos Sainz has.
Yeah,
but he's going to be out there to prove a point and drive and do some smooth operating.
Well, that's what he put after the operation, wasn't it? He said it was a smooth operation. So, yeah, I mean, he's got the mindset for it. The Matador in waiting, I suppose. Not quite the Matador, that's Fernando Alonso. But, yeah, I mean, Fury, what would you constitute as a good result for Carlos Sainz this weekend? Assuming, of course, that he is definitely racing for Ferrari.
So, for me, it will be a podium result. And I will say which podium position in my later on when we get to that point prediction.
Oh, no spoilers then. I won't spoil any more of that. I'm thinking top four or top five is fine. I mean, I know it depends on how competitive Ferrari are, but I still expect them to be the second fastest. So I'd say anywhere in the top four would be great for Carlos. Obviously, the higher up in that list, the better. But I don't want to put too much expectation because as we saw from Alex Albon, when he went through the same thing, it's not so easy to deal with appendicitis and then 2 weeks later jump back in the car and then expect to go as if it never happened.
You're not expecting a Carlos Grand Slam then?
I mean, I would love to see a Carlos Grand Slam. I think it's something in F1 that is not quite, you know, it's missing from F1. F1 definitely needs a Carlos Grand Slam. So, I mean, if it's to come this weekend, then bring it on. Absolutely. I would love to see that. But I digress. As I said, it's good to see Carlos is doing well and looking forward to seeing him back on it. And I expect nothing less from him. My good surprise this weekend, I am going to say, Alex Albon. He went really well here last year in qualifying. Qualified in the top eight, was running in P6 before he had that incident where completely binned it off the road at turn six. Yeah, if I remember, just trying to remember in my head now what turn is. In turn six, absolutely binned it off the road. And at the time, that was a massive opportunity for points for Williams. We thought then that I think they only had one championship point going into the race last season. And it was a real big opportunity for Alex Albon, who looked very, very good. He looked quite handy. And then just completely dropped it, losing the rear end. And he binned it in the gravel trap. I'm expecting him to have a very good weekend here. I think there's going to be a bit of a redemption arc for Albon. And I think he's finally going to get off the, you know, get Williams off the mark. I mean, they're P7 at the moment in the constructors, and that's by virtue of him finishing P11 in Jeddah last time out. So, yeah, I think he's going to put it right this weekend.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think he's got a point to prove after by his own admission, a silly little mistake that cost him a great finish last year. And he obviously wants to prove that that it was a silly mistake. It is obviously a not repeat offender. Obviously, you have some bogey tracks for some drivers, and obviously, you would like to prove that it's not a bogey track for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So, who's your biggest flop then, Lee?
Lance Stroll.
I went with Lance Stroll as well, to be fair, as my biggest flop. So, I mean, why do you think?
For me, the pressure's mounting on Lance. It has been last season, but obviously he had a great first race out in Bahrain, but then the silly mistake of clipping the wall in Jeddah. There's obviously all the rumours about the Amcro, buying out a majority share.
Aramco.
Yeah. Buying out a majority share. It's only rumours, but obviously if there's a change of shareholdership or even a percentage of shareholdership, obviously that puts more at risk of Lance's position within the team. Even if it doesn't come to fruition, the final discussions will unsettle Lance and apply more pressure on him because he knows he's being massively outperformed by Fernando. I just think it's going to be another messy weekend where you're going to have Fernando scoring some really good points and Lance is going to, unfortunately, get a bit of a hash of it.
Have you noticed of late that Fernando Alonso is doing quite a lot of PR on his social media for not only for Aramco, but stuff related to the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix plans, you know, the new circuit that they were talking about? I know this is a bit late to the party because this was a couple of weeks ago, but we had that announcement about the new Grand Prix track that's being proposed to be built for Jeddah in the future or Saudi Arabia in general. And Fernando Alonso was promoting it on his social media and it was worded as if the PR manager for the event organisers had literally written it word for word. And the first thing I could think of was, how much is Fernando being paid for this? It was quite funny because Hülkenberg did the same thing almost word for word the exact same sort of tweet. And I was like, okay, at what point do they put ad in this tweet? I'm sure on X you have to declare it as an ad now. You can't just write it as if it's an ad.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a fine line of where you would call it an ad and an endorsement.
Oh, it was definitely an ad. It was definitely an ad.
I know it's a bit late to the game, but that circuit design, I think, is just a silly rainbow road.
Huge ramp going up the top. I can just imagine. I think the one I saw the most was Charles Leclerc if the brakes failed and on the Ferrari, and it just kept going as if it was launching itself over a ramp.
I can't remember which year it was, but you remember when Mark Webber got some airtime when he hit the back of Heike?
Oh, yeah.
You imagine doing that on the ramp, and there's a...
Yeah, that's right. When he backflipped over, was it Kovalainen in Valencia?
Yeah, in Valencia. I can't remember which year it was. I think it was 2012?
Was it 2012, the year Fernando won in the Ferrari? I'm going to say it's 2012. If we're wrong, someone will let us know. I'm going to say that. Close enough.
It was in that time frame, but a silly accident like that. Oh, it's not a silly accident. It's a serious accident, obviously. Mm. But in that situation, in a fake hill, because it's a ramp and effectively a bridge, off the bridge, there you go. That's instant death for the driver. That's good safety standards for one.
Yeah.
Where's your runoff?
They just put a big net on the other side of it just to catch him. Make us all panic and worry, and at the bottom he just drops in the net, and then like Mario Kart, Lakitu just comes, picks him up with a huge rod, drops him back where he was, reset to track, off he goes like nothing happened. That would be that would be fun. Try and introduce that. Lance Stroll though, should mention, as I said, we did predict him to be the flop for this weekend. He actually went rather well last season. He finished in the top four behind his teammate, of course, but then obviously that was massively affected by that late red flag that we had and the late safety car, which of course was caused not only by George Russell when he retired, but then obviously following that we had the two Alpines coming together and Carlos Sainz getting a 5-second penalty, which is it 10 seconds? I don't know. I'm still not over it. I think it was an absolute travesty that they felt to penalise him under the circumstances. I know he made the mistake and he hit Alonso, but you know, to do it after a red flag was all a bit weird. Anyway, look, I'm getting off topic, but yeah, Lance Stroll. Reason why I think he's going to flop, at the moment, Lee, we saw in Jeddah, and we also saw this in Bahrain a little bit as well, whilst he was able to recover a point in Bahrain, effectively, the bottom half of the grid are racing Lance Stroll for that last point. It's literally a contest of seeing who can beat Lance Stroll. And I just think for that reason, if Lance is not on it and doing, at the very least, you know, 90-95% of what he should be capable of in that car, there's an opportunity there for the back half of the grid. And I think we're going to see that again this weekend. I think if he's not on it, then someone's going to pick up a point. And if he doesn't pick up points in that car, given the advantage they have over the other half of the grid, that has to be considered a flop.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way of describing Lance's performance. That out of the top five teams, obviously they have a bad race and other top drivers may not be in the top 10. But if they're on a clean race, the other half of grid is fighting Lance. I think that's a brilliant way to summarise the position that Aston Martin are in at the moment with Lance Stroll. And it's, especially when the driver, his teammate, is doing so well. It's really, it's just a flop, as you said, in that kind of performance. There shouldn't be a question about the other half of the grid fighting Lance for the 10th position. There's a clear performance gap. That shouldn't be a question.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, even when you had Behrmann in the Ferrari, people might have thought, oh, maybe there's an opportunity. We might get a point here because Ferrari have got a rookie in there. And he turned out to put out a blinder. And, you know, if he's qualifying, if he got into Q3, he might have been able to finish higher up the field. He was certainly capable of challenging the likes of Alonso and Russell in that race. He just wasn't in the position at the right time to do it. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think right now the bottom half of the field are looking at this and thinking, look, if we're going to get a point, we have to beat Stroll. He's the only realistic challenger that we can face at the moment, given the deficit that they have in terms of car performance. Let's move on to pole position. I'm going to go... I mean, am I going to be bold? No, I'm not. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to go with Max Verstappen. Sorry, guys. I was thinking, could Charles Leclerc do it? Maybe, but no, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I've been putting my faith in Charles the last couple of races that to put it out of the bag, and he hasn't. So I'm actually going to agree with the boring sentiment, so to speak, and pick Max for pole position. Charles has let me down. Ferrari's let me down. They haven't. Where's that speed that I thought Charles was going to have? It's been close, mind you. But I see not the right side of pole position. Definitely Max for me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more likely that Leclerc will be on pole this weekend compared to what we saw in Jeddah, because I think that track suited the Red Bulls a bit more than Ferrari in that regard, particularly in the speed traps. I think that's still going to be a factor, particularly in the middle sector, where, of course, they've that new layout that we saw last year, where it's, you know, the 6, 7, 8 and 9 have been extended now to be like basically full throttle all the way through before you get to turn 10. So that's the area Red Bull are really going to make up their margin on Ferrari, but I still think it's going to be more close like it was in Bahrain, where I think it's fair to say Leclerc probably should have put that Ferrari on pole, but he didn't. So I think it's going to be more reflective of what we saw in Bahrain than what we saw in Jeddah. No, so you're not fancying the Grand Slam for Carlos then? Because, of course, that, you know, he needs to get pole.
Unfortunately, as much as I said about Carlos now, I don't believe it'll be the Grand Slam for Carlos, although that'd be quite entertaining if it did occur. I don't believe so. But one last comment is that it's the first weekend of the year that I don't pick Charles for pole, and he's going to probably go and prove me wrong and get pole. No, my luck.
I hope so. Do you know what? It's funny. I was looking at it the other day, and I think Ferrari put out a tweet on social media where they were showing the battle between Leclerc and Max Verstappen in 2022. And at that point in the championship, it really hits you in the feels, because he was leading the championship by like 34 points at that time. And it wasn't even over Max, it was over Russell as well. Like, Max was even further back. And I remember saying, is the championship Charles Leclerc's to lose? How wrong was I upon reflection on that? It couldn't have gone any worse than that point in the championship where things looked rosy. And I think, could this be the year for him? I mean, it's never really looked in doubt in Max's favour after that.
No. And the France was the nail in the coffin in that year.
Yeah, it really was. But yeah, what a nosedive it took at the time. But hopefully he'll be back again soon. Let's move on to the top three. So as I said, for this one, Lee, it's worth a point if you get your top three exactly. It's not a point for each one. So who have you got to finish in third?
For me, it's Carlos.
Okay, I've gone for Perez in P3 for me. Here's a quick one for you, Lee. If Perez doesn't finish top two, would you consider that a failure for him?
No, I wouldn't consider that a failure for him. If he doesn't finish on the podium, I would consider that a failure for him. It could be a bad strategy. Obviously, there could be obviously Ferrari may be close and they may actually have some form of race in the hand that Sergio gets the inferior strategy to Max. So potentially not finishing second place or winning necessarily in the top two positions effectively doesn't mean it's not a failure. I think outside the podium where the car's performance should, it's basically a guaranteed podium finish. If he's not on the podium, then I'll be, that's more of a flop performance, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, no, the reason I ask is because obviously we've only had two races here, but even though some people would probably consider Checo to, you know, to be happy of a podium, he still had a relatively decent margin over the highest scoring Ferrari, whether that be Carlos or Leclerc in both Bahrain and Jeddah. I know in Bahrain it was offset because Leclerc had those problems with the car, which really set him back. We won't know how close he could have been in that race to Checo. And then obviously in Jeddah, Ferrari were nursing their tyres a bit too much. They could have pushed a bit more. Leclerc's fastest lap on the final lap proved that point. So I don't know how close Ferrari really are to Red Bull. I think we'll probably find out a bit more this weekend. But part of me feels like Checo still has enough of an advantage at this point in time where if he doesn't finish over the ahead of the lead Ferrari, it would possibly be considered a bit of a failure right now. Like, it's either first or second at the moment, although at this point in time, he's just as likely to win a race as he is to not come second at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. He's more like, get my words out, more likely come first and second than finish outside those positions. But as I said, there can be mitigating circumstances that may relegate him to third. But on performance, that car deserves a podium finish. And anything outside that, it's a failure to obviously maximise the performance of the car. And obviously the circumstances may obviously entail that if he has a crash or something. But It should be a podium finisher.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I say that and then, you know, I predicted him to finish third, despite all of that.
Yeah, it's a podium.
Yeah, it's a podium, but I was wondering if a P2 was considered a failure. And then maybe it's just me trying to keep Checo within one DNF away from Max Verstappen, because he's still in that ballpark at the moment, although the form Max is in, that could change very, very quickly, very, very soon. P2, I've gone with Leclerc in P2. I think he's going to have a good race. He's not going to bin it this year like he did last year, because remember, he retired first lap when he tried to go around the outside of Stroll and he binned it. I think he's going to have a better race this season. I think he's going to finish P2.
That's a solid guess. So we backed different Ferrari drivers this weekend.
You're always backing Carlos. I need you to get on the Leclerc hype train with me, Lee. Come on. There's room for all of us.
You get the underdog, don't you? You get the driver that's leaving.
Is Carlos really the underdog? He's better than that. We know how good he is.
Better than that. I've gone for Sergio for P2.
No, pretty standard.
Because I don't see the moment their performance may be closer this weekend, but I think there's still enough of a tech performance differential between the teams that Red Bull should be 1-2. And Sergio, it seems to be in. He's got his mojo back, obviously. This time last year, he still had his mojo. So the question is, how long can he keep his mojo? But at the moment, he's still got his mojo and he's driving quite well at the moment.
Yeah, and if he continues to do so, then that seat is as good as his for 2025. Don't see any reason why Red Bull would think differently towards Checo. It's the best case scenario for him. It's what they would have wanted. I mean, we talk about Daniel Ricciardo, but at this point in time, the one person that really wants Daniel Ricciardo to do well is Christian Horner. And at the moment, that's not really happening. Okay. P1, I know we kind of alluded to this already, but for avoidance of doubt, Lee, who are we going?
Yeah, Max Verstappen on this one.
Said with such enthusiasm for it.
Sorry, it's the... just won a close race if he wins. Fair enough, he's obviously a fine drive, but a bit of a race for it. It's entertaining to see. So even if Sergio fights him for it, they're still entertaining, which would be nice for Sergio to put a fight against Max. And normally Max has a 5 seconds in hand over Sergio, so they don't really share the same piece of track. But you can just have one good performance from Sergio, and we could have a different conversation and building up hopes that, oh, Sergio in the title fight. That may come as we especially get to Baku, which is in a few races' time, which is a good hunting ground for Sergio.
Effectively, what we're asking for here is not necessarily for Max to not win. We're certainly not asking that. What we want is for it to be close enough where there's a lot of jeopardy. Okay, some people will probably see Max win and go, oh, here we go, he's won again. But if it's fun and entertaining and he's really made to work for it, okay, there's that initial disappointment that he's still got the job done, but at least he's being pushed all the way rather than doing what he's doing right now and winning by like 20 seconds and then his teammate, his rear gunner, is right behind him, who I'm sure is pretty happy to do the teamwork just to keep that seat at this point in time. So maybe if we're asking Red Bull or asking Max, maybe just to drive a 50%, don't push the throttle all the way down, don't use fifth gear, maybe just keep it in fourth, you know, win by a little bit, not by a lot, might be all right.
Yeah, that's not going to happen with Max Verstappen. It's all or nothing for Max.
Speaking of which, like, he drives at the moment like he's got a sixth sense. It's ridiculous. Did you see on social media, there was that clip of Max on one of his Twitch streams where he was navigating for, like, he does a lot on Twitch at the moment. I know he did before, but we're seeing a lot of it now on social media. And there was this clip of him just going in and out of these cars. It was like a huge crash. It was like...
he come out of it.
It was a bit like the opening scene of Cars, you know, where Lightning McQueen is navigating his way through all them cars. That literally Max was doing the same thing. And it was so funny, but the guy looked so unfazed. Like, it was a few little wobbles, but he just gets through it like an absolute champ. He's absolutely beasting it in the real world and online as well. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's that clip that was, if it's the one I'm thinking of, is like there's a crash in front of him and he somehow comes through the crash.
Yeah, it's that one.
Unscathed. How the hell? I mean, I'm nowhere near a good virtual driver as Max Verstappen at all. But that kind of situation is like, oh, he out of the race. How the hell did he get through that crash and not make any contact?
That was crazy.
It was brilliant virtual driving there, but very entertaining to watch though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, I think I was looking through some stats and he's on, was it 9 wins in a row at the moment? His current winning streak at this point in time. If you look at all the last 25 races on its own, he's won the same number of Grand Prix that Kimi Raikkonen has won his entire F1 career. That's brutal.
Yeah.
And that just shows how good the guy is. And I thought, I had to think to myself when I saw that and I thought, is that right? Not necessarily the fact that he's won 21 races in the last 25. It's the fact of me trying to think of who are the other drivers that have won those 4 races that are not Max Verstappen. And then you've got Carlos, you've got Checo's 1-2, and then who was the other one? It was I'm trying to think the other one. Was it Russell? Yeah. It would have been Russell that would have won the other one in Brazil. So yeah, absolutely crazy statistics there with Max Verstappen. I mean, right now he's just racking them all up. I mean, Jesus, save some for everyone else. It's getting greedy now.
Well, he's going for Lewis's record, isn't he?
God, he'd be there by the end of next year at this rate or something like that. It's probably not possible to do that, but he's not far away from it. I mean, surely they can't win every race this year, but the way things are going, they may just do that. Max may do that on his own at this point in time. I just can't see who's going to stop him. Let's move on to the final prediction, Lee, before we upset ourselves and our British bias some more on this one. Bold predictions. Have you got a bold prediction for us?
More Valtteri Bottas bottom content.
You've seen the advert, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh my this God. This is not that sponsored, is but
it was
cinema.
Brilliant. It was brilliant.
Pure cinema. If you haven't seen it, guys, honestly, check out check out Twitter or X or Instagram, wherever you get it from, and just search up, is it Ubershare, Valtteri Bottas?
Yeah, or just look it up. Valtteri, it's on his socials.
This guy, he might not be doing bits on the track right now, and there's a lot of reasons for that, not necessarily owing to him, but he is embracing every other element of this sport outside of the car, and it's absolutely amazing to watch. I'm absolutely loving what Valtteri's getting up to. He's really found a new lease of life at the moment, Lee, outside the cockpit. I'm a little bit worried he might be too tempted to go to Hollywood at this rate, because it's absolute masterclass what he's doing right now. He's brilliant.
Yeah, who said that the Finns were static and not funny people when you had Mika and Kimi and Heike, and they're all very static? But Valtteri's just proven that's completely wrong. And obviously, maybe it's an influence of his Aussie girlfriend.
Was an honorary Australian citizen now, or so they say.
He's embracing that Australian lifestyle, so to speak, especially portrayed in the advert. But it was brilliant acting from him, and obviously full of
deprecation.
Thank you. I lost there the word. Self-deprecating humor, and how he just embraces his there's no nudity, but how he embraces that stereotype that Valtteri's developed with his pictures and his imagery, and it's like the Speedos.
Well, he's got the shower scene, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got the shower outside. Scene. He's got the Speedos.
Is that Valtteri face?
That was brilliant. Completely diverged. That was all in jest, but I couldn't. I had to mention it because it was hilarious.
No, it's brilliant. I forgot what I was asking you originally. Now, what was I asking?
The predictions.
Bold predictions. Yeah.
Bold prediction. My bold prediction is, again, Mercedes going to be lost. I think they're going to be fighting for the bottom half of 10 in the top 10. Mm. They're going to be nowhere close to figuring out where the car is. They're going to be experimenting again. Yes, they may experiment and find a golden bullet setup that works for them, but I think they're a bit lost with the new design. And I think they're going to be a subpar performance of what really the team's expecting.
Yeah. Quick one before we move on to my bold prediction, Lee. The Bottas advert, one more thing I did want to mention on that. Where do you rate that in terms of adverts? Because for me, I see a lot of people on social media comparing that to the Pizza Hut one with Damon Hill and Murray Walker, which was obviously very hilarious. Then there was the you can do anything, I can do better with Fernando and Lewis when they were teammates at McLaren. And then there was that shot of Mika Hakkinen with them in the sauna at the end. There was the one at Mercedes with Michael Schumacher and Nico Rosberg when you had the couple arguing over which one should drive them to the hospital. There's been quite a few good ones to be honest. That is definitely up there from Valtteri. I'm just wondering where that one ranks compared to the others. I mean, have to go some way to beat the one with Lewis and Fernando, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Lewis and Fernando one as a Formula One driver advert is probably still my favourite one. That was just brilliantly done by the team, and obviously the marketing team on that. I think it was amazing. But for me, Valtteri's up there. It's probably better than some of the other ones that mentioned. You've mentioned there.
I like the Damon Hill one favorite. With Murray Walker. That one was always a good one. And it's pizza too, so you can't go wrong.
I can't even think of that one.
You have to look it up. It's an old one.
Now it's, it hasn't left a lasting impact.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to look it up on YouTube. It's basically, for those of you that haven't seen it, which probably a lot of you, you know, it was quite an old advert in the mid-90s, but Damon Hill and Murray Walker sitting down for a Pizza Hut lunch. And basically Damon's tucking away at a pizza and you've got Murray Walker providing commentary in the background, and it's actually it's quite funny. Murray Walker just can't get out of the work situation, enjoy lunch. But it's quite a funny advert. But yeah, the Valtteri one, it's definitely, it's individual acting ability from a driver. I think it's the best I've ever seen in terms of a performance from any driver in an advert. It's absolutely phenomenal. My bold prediction, before we drag this pod any longer than it needs to be, I am going to become very unpopular here because I've been trying to praise Australia throughout the entirety of this episode for obvious reasons, because we love our Aussie fans and they very, very kind to us in the reviews and on the show as well. But I'm going to be bold and unpopular and say I think no Australian driver is going to score points this weekend. I think both Piastri and Ricciardo are going to draw blanks.
Ooh, and even Valtteri?
Does Valtteri, I suppose, yeah, I suppose Valtteri counts.
You just said he was an honorary Australian.
Yeah, no. I mean, who am I to question it? I mean, the politics is right there. I got to respect it. So it's the same as Lewis is Brazilian and pretty much, yeah. Valtteri, yeah, is Australian. So I'll count him as well in this one, but doesn't change my answer as much as I'd love to be wrong. Piastri, I think, is definitely the best bet to score points.
Yeah.
McLaren, it's going to be tough because the car is still a bit rocky in the slower corners. It's not great in the high speed with the DRS efficiency issues it has. I think that's really going to cause it problems on this circuit. And I think you can't really look past the poor form for Ricciardo at the moment. I mean, people were trying to say it weren't so bad in Jeddah because he got held up in the pits under the safety car, but then it was safety car. He was going to be brought to the back of the field. He was still struggling to catch his teammate. And then there was that one move he tried to make where he completely did a 360 at the end of turn one. It's not looking good for Ricciardo at the moment. It really, really isn't. And I'm worried that it's going to be another tough weekend. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I get your bold prediction. I disagree with Oscar. I think he has a very good chance of points. On the straight, they probably will struggle because of their, you said, the DRS efficiency. But I think they'd be quite good the rest of the lap. But Daniel, yeah, he's been really poor performer so far this season. Yes, we're only two races in, but this is not the performance that Red Bull expected, especially Christian from Daniel. And obviously the spin is a worrying sign because he was all on his own. And we know, as much as great as Sebastian is, we know Sebastian had a nice amount of spins towards the end of his racing career. And so for me, a concern is this a mark of Daniel's decline as a driver if he has start spinning? Yes, it was a one-off spin. It may be nothing. But if he does it again and again and a pattern develops, then questions will be asked. But he's just not performing right. And at the moment, Yuki is holding on to this team lead status, and Daniel's not shown any sign of that he's going to wrestle that from Yuki, because Yuki seems to have Daniel under control.
Yeah, absolutely agree. But that's all we've got time for, guys, on this one. Let us know your thoughts on the predictions that we've done, and also let us know your predictions as well. And don't forget to follow us on your favourite pod platforms and leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us out a lot. But until then, guys, we'll be back with a recap of qualifying on Saturday. And of course, we'll be doing the review of the Australian Grand Prix as well, coming to you on the Monday. So until then, thanks so much. Thanks for tuning in. As always, please stay safe and we'll see you in the next one. Take care, guys. You can follow us on all our socials. Search at @DNF1_official on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and also leave us a 5-star review. If you're not first, you're probably DNF1.
Sports Social Podcast Network.